He is a faithful God. And I wouldn't want to live my life without him. He is my source of strength. He is my help. He is my friend. He is my comforter. He is my savior, my healer. Hallelujah. He is my king. Amen. And so I'm thankful for him this morning. So be encouraged this morning. Hallelujah. That wherever you might be in your life or in this season, hallelujah, he is faithful to us. Hallelujah. He is faithful. He is a faithful God. Hallelujah. I want to go to John chapter 15 this morning. John chapter 15, and I'm going to start in verse 1. And I want to talk about that your joy may be full this morning. I want to talk about joy. Hallelujah. Remember that song we used to sing? It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Hallelujah. Georgia likes that song. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Hallelujah. How many of you got joy in here this morning? Okay, about 50% of you got joy in here this morning. The other part of you, we're going to work on that today. So hopefully if you're not joyful now, you'll be joyful when we go. All right. Hallelujah. How many know there's a difference between joy and happiness? Do you know that? Happiness is connected to what is happening in your life. Amen? But joy is not connected to the happenings in your life. How many know joy is an inner source? It is an inner strength. The scripture tells us that the joy of the Lord, what? Is your strength. Hallelujah. So to be joyful, to have joy, that your joy might be full or completed or perfected or matured. He's talking to his disciples when he makes this statement. Hallelujah. Joy means cheerfulness, calm. I like that one. Cheerfulness, calm. You know, it can be joyful and calm. Delight, gladness, exceeding great joy, fullness. Hallelujah. How many know in his presence there is fullness of joy? And I believe that in our lives can be full of joy, hallelujah, and not gloom, despair, and agony on me. Hallelujah. How many know that song? Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Any hee-haw fans in here? If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. So how many know the tune you sing and the words that come out of your mouth are greatly connected to what's going on inside of your spirit or inside of your heart? Now, you know me well enough to know that I have said over and over again that praise and worship is a powerful mechanism. It is a powerful tool to bring you out of despair, to bring you out of discouragement, to bring you out of discontentment, to bring you out of depression or oppression. How many know the words of your mouth are powerful? The scripture says that we have the power of life and death in our tongue. That's not only to speak to yourself or to speak to other people. How many know I can say things to Monty that can either be to have the power of life or it can have the power of death in it? Amen? How many know the words of our mouth sometimes can be destructive? They can be demeaning. They can be discouraging. Hallelujah. Or we can have the power of life that we can come into contact with somebody and the power of life that's inside of you, there's a deep that connects to deep that we begin to rejoice. And as our spirits begin to connect, how many know it's like the art of the apothecary that blends together and there is a joining together of life's spirits. How many know it's hard to hang out with happy people and stay in the glooms? One thing I have learned over my life that if I am discouraged or in despair, downhearted, and yeah, I get there sometimes, but in those times in my life, if I want to come out of that, I'm not going to go find somebody who's in the same shape that I am. Amen? I'm going to find somebody who's got something good to say, something that has some life inside of them that can lift me up, that can speak life to me. Amen? And so we have a power of life and death in our tongue, and we sometimes so have to guard what we say. You know, if you have children in the house, Terry and I were just talking about an incident earlier, something that Georgia repeated back to her, and she said, and I didn't even realize she was talking. I mean, that she was listening to me. How many know the words that we speak in the arena of people, and especially with our children, frame their mindset, frame how they think about people, frame how they respond to situations, frame about their moods and attitudes towards certain things. Amen? Hallelujah. Not too long ago, Georgia came to my house, and when she got to my house, she said when she came in, she got all upset, and she said, I'm afraid of monsters. And I said, monsters? And it's like if she had had a dream or something about my house, and she was afraid when she came in it. And I said, something rise up inside of me said, oh, no, 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 no. And first I said this. You don't have to worry about monsters. Jesus lives here. And I said, Nina is stronger than monsters. And then I caught myself. Then I said, baby, I want you to know there is no such thing as monsters. And Jesus lives in this house, and there's no such things as monsters. So you don't have to be afraid in Nana's house. Because Papa's going to take care of you. Nana's going to take care of you. And there are no such things as monsters, baby. But how many know somewhere along the line, somebody told her there was a monster and that you needed to be afraid of it? We tell our kids sometimes, don't go there, the boogeyman will get you. How many of you had the boogeyman when you were little? And that's where they just tell you, you know, stay away from there because the boogeyman will go. I don't know who this boogeyman was, and I didn't know what he had against me, but I wasn't going there. But how many know our words frame concepts? And she mentioned a time or so again, and I said, oh, no, baby. No, 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 no. There are no such things as monsters in Nana's house. You don't have to be afraid. You have Jesus living inside of your heart. You don't have to be fearful of something that you've never seen, but a concept that somebody has placed in your mind that's made you think that it might be true. Hallelujah. How many know? Somewhere I heard that there are 2,000 known fears. Did you know that? Now, I don't know how they counted these. But there's like fear of everything. And they got a name for them. There's a fear of spiders. There's a fear of heights. There's a fear of crowds. There's a fear of water. There's a fear of everything. Amen? But they tell us that you're only born with two fears. Two fears. One is a fear of loud noises. And one is a fear of falling. All 1,998 of the other fears you learned, they came from somewhere else. Now, those two that you're born with, they're a mechanism of survival or safety. Amen? But we learn fears. How many know children, when they begin to walk, my little grandson is just starting to begin to walk, but he has no fear. Because it's the first time on his feet and on his knees, but now he's got to learn when he gets close to tables and you bang your head on that table, it hurts. So you learn what? To be cautious and you learn to make your steps work so that you protect yourself or so that you're safe. But how many know our mind can play a whole lot of tricks on us? Hallelujah. And there's a lot of things in our minds that sometimes we need to unlearn. Part of learning is unlearning things. Those of you who know anything about computers, every now and then you got to clear some history. You got to defrag that thing. You got to clear the junk out of that. You understand what I'm saying? I got three people heading there nodding their heads. And I don't understand all of that either. Hallelujah. But before I preach my sermon, let me go to John chapter 15. Or else I'll just preach it and give you the scriptures when I'm done. How's that? John chapter 15. Now, I'm going to start this, but really, before the Easter season, I started teaching a series on the I Ams of Jesus, where Jesus says that I am. And this actually falls in the category of one of them. And I'm trying not to go that direction this morning. I'm trying to go a little bit different direction. So we'll see how this all melds together at the end. All right? But one thing I want you to know is when Jesus says to them, I am, he's specifically speaking to his disciples, and he wants them to get this. He wants them to understand this. He says to them, the first one I taught you is, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. And how many of Jesus goes through and he's talking to scribes and Pharisees and he's saying to them, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. But this manna, this bread that I give to you, it is life-giving. It is my body. It is me. Hallelujah. Everything else has been a form or a tradition or a mindset or a concept. How many know he's speaking to a religious, pharisaical mind when he says this? How many know Jesus is about to make one of the greatest transitions that ever happened in the shift of the scriptures when he's transitioning? How many know Jesus is the pivotal mediator that's transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament? He's taking them from an old law-based system to a faith-based system. Do you understand that? That we now don't live by order of the law, but we live by faith of the Son of God and how he gave his life for us. So we live our life through the life of Christ and what he gave to us and what he made for us. So in John 15, he's telling them something again. When he says to them that I am the vine, and he's going to talk to them about the vine. But before I read that, understand that we are still in this portion of scripture, John chapter 13. Jesus sits down with his disciples. But before he ever sits down with the disciples, the scripture says they make ready the Passover. But before Jesus ever sits down at the table with the disciples, the scripture says he girds himself with a towel and he washes the disciples' feet. And he says to them, he shows them the example of servanthood. He said, you know, and he begins to tell them everything that's about to transpire and everything that's about to take place. What I love about this is Jesus washed all 12 sets of feet. I mean, no, Judas's feet got washed also. Hallelujah. Because the scripture says, these you have given me, I love, and I have loved them to the end. Hallelujah. That he loved his disciples. And so he demonstrates the foot washing and then he has the bread and the wine. And we see the symbolism of communion where he says, this is my body, the bread, which was broken for you. This is my blood, which was shed for you. And he said, drink and eat of this. And he says, I'm not going to eat or drink with you until I eat and drink with you afresh and anew in the kingdom of God. And through all of this, he says, one of you are going to betray me. And he said, I'm going to smite the shepherd. The sheep are going to scatter. I mean, at this point, the disciples are a little bit confused. They're a little bit disillusioned. And they're trying to figure out this man that they have walked with for 3.5 years. All of a sudden starts talking this crazy talk like it's coming to an end what we've known to this point. Amen. And so to put yourself in their place and in the place of these disciples, Jesus is trying to transition them into a different mindset. And so in John 13, 14, 15, and 16, he's telling them those things that's about to come to pass. And in 17, he has the prayer with the Father where he prays for them. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus is our mediator and our intercession and that he prays for us before the Father? Hallelujah. And that we have the power of the Holy Ghost that intercedes on our behalf. And so in John 14, we cut it off by chapters and we think they're not connected. But how many know all those portions of scripture, if you'll see, it's all in red letter. It's a continuation of what Jesus is saying to them. And he wants them to get this. If it's in red letter, you need to pay attention to what he's saying. There's something important there. And so he starts out in John chapter 14 saying, and Peter said, Lord, I'm going to go with you all the way. And I'm here for you. And I got your back. And I'm going to stand with you. And Jesus looks at him and said, Peter, I hate to break it to you, but before the cock crows, it means before morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. And he gives that piece of advice, information to Peter. And I'm sure Peter's just kind of like, now, wait a minute. You know, I've been with you for 3.5. I got this. I can do this. I mean, remember, Lord, you called me out on the water. I got out of the boat. I mean, we've done some great things together. I'm with you. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice and we to worship you. And I love you, Lord. I got this. But Jesus goes on to say, but don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let this wipe you out. Don't become so overcome with what you think you have failed in that you forget that I'm about to empower you with the Holy Ghost from on high. And it might seem like Friday night, but Sunday's on the way, Peter. What the rooster might say tomorrow morning, there's going to be another rooster and another day. So don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me, Peter. Believe in what I'm about to do. Believe in the work that I was sent to do. And so he begins to encourage him. He said, not only, he said, am I going to the Father? He said, but I'm making a way for you. That where I am, you may be also. And that way is not just a place called heaven or a place three planets past Mars. It's not, he's not take it not just talking about another place. He said, the place I'm going to prepare for you is an avenue and a place called Calvary that you can come to know in all creation. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's the place I'm making for you, Peter, a place of forgiveness, a place where you can come boldly before the throne of God and receive grace and mercy. You might mess up, Peter, but I got you covered. I've already washed your feet. I've already got communion bread in your belly. You've already drank the wine. You're more covered than you know, Peter. You're more covered than you know. So don't let your heart be troubled. Just you believe God. Believe in me. Just believe in me. And so he begins to take them through the next couple scriptures, telling them the things that God's going to do. He said, God, you don't understand it. He said, but there's a comforter that's going to come. And where the outside, the law was an outside governing force, this comforter is going to be an inside governor. Hallelujah. The governor is going to be in the house. The comforter is going to be inside you. And not only is he going to bring inside of you to bring comfort, but he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. Thank God that the Holy Ghost works quicker and better than the GPS system. Hallelujah. We were doing a little bit of traveling. By the time I could get my phone on, find the right navigator, and get the right address of where we needed to be, it was too late. Not the phone's fault. It's not the phone's fault. It's the operator's fault. Hallelujah. Thank God you can talk into them, you know, because by the time I get done typing, we're halfway home. I watch these kids on their phones. They're just like this little blur, and they're typing all this stuff. By the time I type in where I need to be, I've done missed my exit, and I'm halfway home. So I'm thankful that the governor lives in the house, the GPS system of the Holy Ghost that can lead and guide me into all truth. You understand what I'm saying? So then Jesus comes along in John chapter 15, and he starts to tell them something else, and he's telling them, I am the true vine, and my father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser, or the gardener, or the farmer, however you want to say it. I am the true vine. I mean, no, if he's the true vine, there must have been another vine. He said, I am the door. All that ever came before me were thief and robbers. I am the bread. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. How many know he's transitioning into a new system? I'm the true vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I mean, no, he's talking more than just Gentiles and sinners or Christians or whatever. He's talking about that old system is being pruned. It's being adjusted. Everything that in it brought forth fruit, my father is adjusting. And everything that did not bring forth fruit, it's being taken away. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Hallelujah. How many know he's saying in this scripture, stay connected. Yeah. Stay connected. How many know we are better together? We need to stay connected. How many know there is strength when we come together in the body of Christ, even just being in the atmosphere and the presence of believers and the saints of God, there is strength that happens in the house. How many can say there's been refreshing in your heart already today? There's been strength that you draw. The words of worship that are encouraging to you. The words of the scriptures that are encouraging. The prayer that you received. The connection of the body supporting one another. How many know it makes us stronger? We cannot bear fruit off by ourselves. You know, it's a real trend that people want to do their own thing and disconnect. Or me and Jesus got our own thing going. How many know it's not about you and Jesus and just your own thing? It's about his thing. It's about staying connected to him. It's about his purpose, his calling, his work in your life. So we need to stay connected to the vine. Because without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. Oh, I am the vine, sorry, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Again, he is saying, if a man abide not in me, and again, he's talking about his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, understanding that my life, my sacrifice, my blood is what we abide in. Yep. Not an old system, not a temple ritual, not an animal sacrifice, not a law that you got to keep, but a life that'll keep you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. How many know those are his words? That when we are connected to the vine, the same life source, the same blood that flows through that main branch is what flows through the main vine, is what flows to the branches. It's what gives us life. It's what gives us the ability to produce fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. I mean, Jesus makes it a point to tell them, I love you. Abide in my love. How many times in our life and over the years have we felt like we come in and out of the love of God? Anybody? Only me? In the house? That when I'm good, he loves me. When I'm bad, he walks away from me or turns his back on me. Or how many know his love isn't hinged on my performance? It's hinged on his performance. Hallelujah. Because if I could save myself, he would have died in vain. But I didn't have the power to save myself. I didn't have the power to change myself. I still don't have the power to change myself. But I have an indwelling spirit that has the ability and the power to change me. Hallelujah. But I got to stay connected. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus gave two commandments. He's not talking about the 613 that came out of the Old Testament that Moses had on stones. And he says, if you keep my commandments, what were they? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love. Love the Lord thy God, love your neighbor. That joy might remain in you. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, I want to talk a little bit about joy this morning. Hallelujah. He talks about my joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That joy there is talking about a complete, mature joy. What he's saying to them is, it may seem like over these next couple days that things have went haywire. It may seem like things are out of control. It may seem like it's the darkest before the dawn. But I want you to know there's joy in my love. There's joy will come out of this. There's a joy that you can have even in the midst of adversity that's not connected to your happenings, because that's happiness. But joy is an inward peace, an inward strength that comes through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I was going to go on down there, but I'm going to jump on for time's sake. And it says, he's warning them of coming sorrow, but he says it ends with joy. Joy is used at least 6 times in John 13 through 17. And he's talking about being connected to the vine and the branches. How many know joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit? One of the fruits that we produce, or fruits that we bear by staying connected to the vine. Outside of the vine, there is no joy. There is no peace in our life. So it's one of the fruits that we bear as we stay connected. Now he tells them that the Comforter is going to come. And the Comforter is going to operate from the, I love the song we sang this morning, from the inside out. However many are glad that the Holy Ghost and the works of Jesus work from the inside out. It's a matter of heart condition. Hallelujah. It's a heart condition. It works from the inside out. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Hallelujah. It's not an outside law, but an inside force, which is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so he talks about joy. And we sang, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Remember that song? If you want joy, you can clap for it. If you want joy, you can sing for it. If you want joy, you can dance for it. Anybody remember that old song? Hallelujah. How many know you can't sing that and not feel just a little bit joyful? I saw a couple of you guys jumping in here this morning. Hallelujah. You were getting a little bit joyful. And you know, I've said before that one of the things that I have understood in my life is you can't whine and praise at the same time. And I have tried it. You can't moan and worship at the same time. So we choose what comes out of our mouth. Amen. We choose what spirit we're of. We choose how, whether we're going to praise our way through or whether we're going to cry our way through. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody? No, don't raise your hand on this one. Anybody ever been in a mood and you just think, I'm just going to stay in this mood too? A couple people raised your hand anyway. That's all right. That's all right. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you get in a mood, you're just like, leave me alone. I'm having my own little pity party here all by myself, and I'm not ready to switch. Hallelujah. You know, there can be a whole lot of outward or inward forces that change, that come against our mind or war against our mind. How many know the biggest battlefield that we have is in our mind? Our thoughts, our emotions, our imaginations. Hallelujah. You can be outside in the dark. Anybody ever been afraid of the dark before? Amen. Why? Why are we afraid of the dark? Because it looks different and we don't have a perception of the day, right? But here's the deal. Chances are there's nothing there in the night that wasn't there in the day. But our imagination or our mind starts to play tricks on us. Yeah, I went out to the car before to get something out of the car in the dark, not turn the light on, and hear a noise. And for sure somebody else is out there. If it's not a person, it's probably a big old black bear or whatever. And you hear a noise, and I can get up my steps faster than you can imagine. And because my mind has convinced me there's something there, right? And so our mind sometimes can be our biggest battlefield. It can be affected by outward forces. It can be affected by other people's choices. I mean, sometimes we lose our joy and it's not even our own dealings. We become heavy-hearted or sorrowful over things, choices that other people have made, and so it wears heavy on us. Sometimes it can be physical. Sometimes it can be a actual physical thing that's going on in our body, an imbalance of something that's keeping us, or our mindsets, or our moods unstabilized. Amen? Hallelujah. But Jesus begins to talk about that your joy might be full. Hallelujah. Go ahead and bring up Psalms 30, 5 through 12. John 16 goes on and talks about this joy. You can go ahead and bring that one up, the Psalms, Carlin. But John 16 talks about joy in childbirth. How many of childbirth is just one of the craziest things that there is? She's going to hold her ears. Because the scripture says that a woman would endure childbearing or labor for the joy that's set before them. And how many of you can say in here, my kids were worth every bit of whatever I went through to get them here? Isn't that the craziest thing? I mean, seriously, that we would intentionally do that and do it again for the joy that is set before us. How many of us, sometimes it is those things in our life that bring pressure, that bring pain, that form us, shape us, and mold us into parents and give us the greatest sense of joy if we'll hang on. Amen? My husband said to me after I come out of labor with Beth, it was like 30-some hours in labor. The doctor came in, told me, he said, honey, you've been in false labor, but we're going to give you something to start your labor. And I said, kill me now. Done, finished. Kill me now. And so what happened, they gave me something to start my labor, and she literally was born an hour later. But my body was not responding like it needed to. It needed a little help to get her here. And I distinctly remember my husband in the labor room saying, honey, you don't ever have to do this again. You know, because it's harder on them than it is on you, you know, right? And he says, out of the goodness of his heart, honey, you don't ever have to do this again. And I smiled and looked at him and said, yeah, I think I could do it again. Because at that point, the joy that I received what far outweighed any pressure, any pain, any struggle that I had ever been through up to that point. Amen? How many know there's something? I told him, I said, honey, there's something different about knowing I wouldn't trade you because that baby literally is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Hallelujah. There's something that you experience in that you can't take away. And so for the joy that's set before them, how many know he's telling these guys, he said, guys, you're going to suffer some pain. You're going to suffer some hard times, some hard, it's going to seem like you're ready to throw up your hands and walk away. How many know in labor, about the time they say, I'm done, I'm going home, the doctor puts the gloves on and said, the baby is on its way. Yeah. Hallelujah, it's time to push. Hallelujah. How many know for those disciples, there were some times in their life that I'm sure that they were ready to throw up their hands and walk away. He said, you're one of them, aren't you? Because your speech betrays you. He said, I don't know who he is. I mean, there's times when you're ready to walk away. Hallelujah. But for the joy that's set before us. Hallelujah. Psalms 30 and verse 5 says, his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing or joy comes in the morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. The scripture says his anger may last for a moment. I'm glad his anger was satisfied at Calvary. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. How many know there was a joy that comes when we hang on? As I said, in the night season, that's when fevers are the highest. That's when there's things outside. You don't know what's out there. How many know that's when your mind will play tricks on you? But if you hang on till morning, you find out that there's life, that there's joy, that there's peace in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the church bells rang. Hallelujah. So there is a joy in knowing him. But I want to go to Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 at first this morning, Carlin. And I'm going to try to wrap this up. I got lots more I could go, but Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. Go ahead with the King James, that's fine. Now, Isaiah 61, Jesus comes along in Luke chapter 4, and he says the same thing. He preaches Isaiah's sermon. If you remember, when he has his first appearance in the temple, they hand him the scrolls of Isaiah, and he begins to read from the scrolls and said, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closes the scrolls, hands it back to the high priest, sits down, and couldn't leave it there. He says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ear. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ear. I am here, and I am on the scene." How many know the greatest balm of Gilead? The greatest anointing oil, the greatest fragrance, the greatest balm is here. I'm in your midst. He has anointed me, and I've come on a mission to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up brokenhearted, to search out everybody who's ever been disqualified under the law, old law. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've come to find them. And today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Now, that seems like if Jesus is going to preach that, and today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears, revival ought to just break out everywhere. Somebody going to have the Holy Ghost dance, and somebody going to get all excited. Somebody going to break out power in the blood, and somebody going to get excited. But the scripture said they were ready to take him to the brow of the hill and toss him off, because all they could see was, "Isn't this Jesus, Joseph's son? Wait a minute, isn't he from Nazareth of all places? Did he grow up in Berkeley Springs? I mean, come on." He stands up and says, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me. I am the messenger. I am the vine. I am the balm of Gilead. I am the anointing oil. I am the fragrance. I am the healer. I am the Savior." Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And they're ready to throw them from the brow of the hill. How many? Because they thought it was blasphemy that he would refer to the scriptures in Isaiah of himself. But what he says in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." How many know if you preach good tidings to the meek won't be meek anymore? They'll be fierce like a lion. They might go into the prayer room like a kitten, but they're coming out like a lion. Yeah. Hallelujah, because he's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, because when I began to pour my oil on them, when I began to minister to them, the brokenhearted aren't broken anymore. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Do you know any people today that are captive to something? Captive to their emotions, captive to their lifestyle, captive to their mindset, captive to their something they've been told in their life. Liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to them that are bound. I know some people in prison today that need some prison doors opened. Hallelujah. And I know how to open prison doors. Did you know that? Yep. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas are behind prison doors in the deepest part of the prison. And Paul looks over at Silas and says, "I feel a little Holy Ghost on me. I feel a praise breaking out me. I'm going to start to sing praises unto God." And when he starts to sing, you know how it is. Somebody starts to hum a tune. Now it's stuck in your head. So you just got to jump right in with them. And before you know it, Paul and Silas are singing two-part harmony. And the rest of the prison starts to jump in. And all of a sudden, the earth begins to shake. And the prison doors begin to rattle, and something begins to happen. Something begins to open, and the prisoners are set free, not because they broke out, because somebody decided, even in my stocks and bonds, even in my despair, I'm going to sing praise to God, because when I do, it releases a fragrance, an anointment that pours forth, and something has to happen when the Holy Ghost starts to move. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, there's a Holy Ghost party, and a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Hallelujah. And he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I want to tell you today, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. You've been accepted. You're accepted in the beloved. You're not rejected. You're not condemned. You're not cast out. You've been acceptable. This is your acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Not by virtue of what you do or what you've done, but by virtue of what He's done and what He's done in you. Hallelujah. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Anybody in here in mourning today? Hallelujah. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Now hold that there. I'm not going to get to everything I want to say today. So let me just tell you this. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, what? To give them beauty for ashes. Now you have to understand that this is a picture of somebody who is mourning. It's a parallel picture of mourning and a wedding. Okay? So when he says from beauty to give unto them beauty for ashes. Ashes were a part of sackcloth and ashes. It was black wool fiber that they would put on themselves and they would afflict themselves and they would show their sins or their humility and they would put ashes because ashes they came and ashes they would return. And it was a sense of mourning and downtrodden and it was black. It was black. So if I gird myself this morning with this, and if I would have come to church with this on my head, would you thought I come to rejoice this morning? You'd have thought I come to mourn because I would have covered myself in blackness. It makes me think of the old army blankets we used to have as kids. Man, those things were warm, but you didn't dare put them against your skin because they just itched like the dickens, like a burlap sack, okay? So he gave me beauty for ashes. Now that beauty is a tiara or a crown or a garland that a bride would wear when she's about to be married, or that would be part of a rejoicing outfit. It was her tiara or her garland. It would be made of flowers or tiara. It would be made of flowers or it would be made of something that was springing, had life in it, okay? So how many know there's a different attire between this, between this, thanks, Mom. Between this and what I had on earlier, all right? So I gave them beauty for ashes, gave them the oil of joy for mourning. Now, how many know the oil of joy? I have looked everywhere trying to find oil of joy. And there's a whole lot of things that can be mixed in the oil of joy. Okay, but it was a compound oil. It wasn't just one oil. How many remember when he go in the temple, he told them, he said, take the oil, take the myrrh, take the cinnamon, take all the olive oil and blend that together, because there's something that happens when you blend the spices of the house and the anointings of the house, that you can anoint everything in the house and it offers up a fragrance unto God that is a sweet smelling savor. And one of those things that's in that holy anointing oil is myrrh. And myrrh, to get myrrh, you have to wound the tree to get it. You have to pierce it. And when you pierce it, it bleeds tears of blood. And there's nothing comely about the myrrh tree, but when it's being traumatized, there's a fragrance that is released from it. Hallelujah. That even in the trauma, there's a fragrance that's released from it. It has thorns on it. Hallelujah. How many know? I know of one who was pierced for me, and he bled and he wept, as it were, tears of resin. And the resin of the myrrh tree has antiseptic, antifungal, antidepressants. All of those things can be used for healing from the myrrh tree. Anybody know what I mean when I say pink king salve? Porter salve. Guess what one of the ingredients is in it? Myrrh. At the base of the tree, there was a red serpent that laid at the myrrh tree. that tried to prohibit people from getting to the myrrh tree. But how many know Jesus crushed that serpent on the cross of Calvary when the thorns were put on him and when he began to bleed out for us? Hallelujah. How many know we have that myrrh? Esther had a concept of this. She bathed herself in myrrh before she ever went before the king. And while Mordecai was in sackcloth and ashes, Esther said, I'm not going to dress myself up like I'm mourning or dying. I'm going to dress myself up like a queen, and I'm going to perfume myself with myrrh, and I'm going in to see the king, because when I go to see the king and he sees me, he's going to say to the half of my kingdom, Esther, you go ahead and ask what you want, and it's all yours. Hallelujah. So he gave me the oil of joy for mourning. Hallelujah. He put his perfume on me. He sprinkled me in some myrrh. He put his fragrance upon me. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many know the black robe was the spirit of heaviness? But he gave me a garment of praise. Hallelujah. He gave me a garment of praise. He gave me a robe of righteousness. He clothed me. Esther didn't dress herself up in black. And she went into the king. Hallelujah. He gave me a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now all of a sudden I'm not feeling all black and down and gloom and despair. I'm feeling a little bit more like a princess now that I'm clothing myself. And besides what I got on, I got some good smelling stuff on because I got the praise. And then I got my shoes. Now my granddaughter calls these her click clacks. And when she gets to my house, she got to put the click-clacks on. She got to put the crown on, and she got to put the robe on. And all of a sudden, she's the princess. She's transferred herself out of the world that she lived in to a place where she says, I'm the princess. And the other night at my house, she had her dress on, and she was having one of those moods. Your babies probably have those moods. And her and her mommy had to have a little bit of talk, a little bit of attitude adjustment. She come out, and she said, Nana, Mommy spanked the princess. I said, well, baby, every now and then a princess needs an attitude adjustment. Hallelujah. But here's what happens when she puts this robe on, and I'm closing with this. He gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm clothing myself different. I traded my rags. I traded my garments for something else. And he has clothed me with this, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, here's what happens when she gets to my house. She puts this robe on. See this net here? I had a whole nother layer of net hanging down. Didn't suit her. So when she come, first thing had to go, the net had to go. If you know anything about Frozen, this is Elsa's cape that Nana made for her. So when she comes to my house, she puts it on. Well, in the movie, Elsa's cape flows, okay? She has this flowing cape. Well, Georgia runs with it, and she wants the robe to fly in the wind. She's trying to get it to hang out, and when it doesn't happen, she cries. Well, what's happening, she keeps looking around. She keeps looking back to see if the robe is flying, and every time she looks back, the robe stops, and it falls. And I got a revelation from that. I'm just going to quit looking back. I'm just going to keep on running. I'm going to put my click-clacks on. I'm going to keep my crown on my head, and I'm going to quit looking back, because when I quit looking back, my rope flows like it needs to. But every time that I stop to look back to see if it's working out, it changes my perspective. And I don't see the same view. I see a robe that's not flying. It's hanging because I've stopped to look back. My husband says, honey, the only way I know to keep that robe to flow is to put a yardstick on the bottom of that or something. I said, if you do that, she can't get through a doorway. So we said, Georgia, baby, you got to quit looking back. You got to just run. Because princess is more about how you perceive yourself than it is what you see when you look back. Now, I started out telling you we got to stay connected to the vine, that we're better together. In that oil of joy, there's a combination of oils that are blended. I forget all of the oils that are in those different ones, but they're powerful. And together, they make a sweet-smelling savor. Together, when mixed in the right compound, they're medicinal, they're therapeutic, they're healing, they're antidepressant, antifungal, antiseptic. They have powerful purposes, powerful properties in them. We come together in this house, and not everybody has the same spice. Not everybody has the same talent. Not everybody has the same ability. Not everybody has the same flavor or the same fragrance in the house. But I want you to know you're powerful, you're anointed, you're needed. Hallelujah. And you got to keep your eyes to the front, and don't ever trade your crown. Don't ever trade your robe. Don't take your click-clacks off for any reason. Keep your dancing shoes on. Hallelujah, because you're more powerful than you know. Hallelujah. He has adorned you. He has dressed you. And when Esther gets ready to go see the king, she didn't pick up the sackcloth and ashes. She went in looking like the queen that she was. She went in looking like a princess. Hallelujah. She knew who she was. You need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know how powerful you are. And you need to know, they prepared her for a year before she ever went in. 6 months of myrrh and 6 months of sweet perfume before she ever went into the king. How many know she had so bathed herself and clothed herself in who he is? Hallelujah. That she realized she was a force to be reckoned with. Hallelujah. She was a princess. And she was anointed for such a time. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me." I want you to know you got that same power in you. He's anointed you to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach to the poor, to set at liberty them who are bruised, and to open prison doors, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Stand to your feet. You have been accepted in the Beloved today. You have been accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. That your joy might be full. Hallelujah. We have a joy that's not connected to our circumstances. It's not limited to our abilities. It's not even our joy. It's his joy in us. Hallelujah. And that joy is my strength. Hallelujah. If your robe is not flying like it needs to today, quit looking back. Hallelujah. Quit pausing to see what's happening back behind you and keep your eyes aflint. Hallelujah. And know what he's called you to be and purposed you to be in this house this morning. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. If you're in this house this morning and you need a dose of that joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wrote a blog the other day, just some writings, and I titled it "A Second Dose of B Complex." Those who you know me, I take B Complex. It's a vitamin. It's a women's vitamin. It's for energy and mood stabilization and all of those things. But how many know sometimes you just have that day when you need a second dose? You get up and put on your Superman shirt and your Wonder Woman boots, and you hit the day. You hit the ground running. Amen. But there's sometimes you just feel like you don't have it in you. But then I remember that I'm a princess. And I remember that he gave me beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I do not have to walk around in heaviness and despair and brokenness and depression. Hallelujah. And I don't make lightly if you're there today, if you're struggling in that area. I want you to know there is a balm in Gilead. There is a myrrh that's poured forth for you at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Healing power of the cross. Hallelujah. So as Beth begins to sing something, I just want you to lift your hands in this house for a moment. Whatever you need to receive from the king. As he told Esther, he said, whatever you want, ask Esther, you just go ahead and ask me. Up to the half of my kingdom, it's yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. whatever it is that might be stealing your joy, whatever it is that causes you to be broken today. Maybe it's not even a brokenness. Maybe you just need to remember and remind yourself, I'm more powerful than I know. I am a princess. Hallelujah. And I'm not trading my garments. And I'm not giving up my sparkles. Hallelujah. Not letting anybody take my click clacks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's rivers all over this house this morning that are flowing right now. Just get in the flow of the river. Just allow this river to flow to you, because wherever that river flows, it brings life. And I want to say this with boldness this morning. If you're dealing with depression in here, if you're struggling with emotions, I want you to reach up and grab a hold of it today and receive healing in this house. Father, we release healing in this house this morning in every area, mind, soul, body, and spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. The anointing power of your flow, of your anointing, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We rejoice in you, Lord. I choose to rejoice. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus.